Hello, my friends. Welcome again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. It's the 11th day of March. I'm Paul. Thanks for joining me as we journey back into the story of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37 is the body of the story, plus the final question. Jesus asks the lawyer, which of the three do you think was neighbor to the man who fell among thieves? And the robber, and the lawyer's answer is, the one who showed mercy. Jesus says, go and do likewise. This entire story constitutes one of the most famous, most important parables. Yesterday we broke the parable down and why Jesus gave him a shocker in that he didn't say a priest, a Levite, and a layperson, because that's the descending order of where this should have went. Instead, he throws a curve and says a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. I told you the crowd probably gasped, and that's because, first of all, he didn't say layperson, but he also then didn't say like Roman, or he didn't name another individual tribe and hold one people up above the other. He picked someone who represented about as bad of a religious deception as the Jews thought you could get into, and that was to be a Samaritan, because the Samaritans were a people who were in their roots half Babylonian, half Jewish, who had developed their own system of Judaism. They wouldn't call it Judaism, but their own system of following Torah, but not observing it in the way that the rest of the Jews did. And they even had their own holy places instead of the temple. They believed that there was other places. And so I don't get into the detail, all of the details of Samaritanism. And I cover some of this in my last book, Greater Than Jonah, because I want to get into this story quite deeply in that book. But to say that Jews and Samaritans didn't have much to do with one another. One of my favorite Jesus stories is one of the unheralded moments in the life of Christ. I want to read it for you today. It's outside of our journey here in Luke. It's in the Gospel of John, and this is one of my favorite moments because of what Jesus is accused of and then how he defends himself. Listen to this in John 8:48. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." I want to just read the question again, then I want to read the answer. Listen to how Jesus defends himself. "Do we not rightly say you're a Samaritan and have a demon?" "I don't have a demon." What does he not deny? He doesn't say, "I'm not a Samaritan and I don't have a demon." He just says, "I don't have a demon." Their accusation to be a Samaritan was some form of half-breed who perverted the religion. Jesus, of course, isn't claiming to be a half-breed that perverts the religion, but he refuses to distance himself from the outsider. "You want to call me a Samaritan? Fine. Don't call me demon-possessed." That's on the opposite end of the spectrum of humanity. I don't have a demon. But you won't call me Samaritan. Fine, call me a Samaritan. Pick the worst person you can think of and call me that. I'll allow myself to be aligned with what you misalign. Now, the reason that I bring that up is, of course, because who Jesus includes in the story of the Good Samaritan is, bingo, a Samaritan. And in John 8, he lines himself up with the Samaritan, so in many ways you could say Jesus sees himself as the Samaritan. He sees himself as the rejected outsider, the one whom people don't expect, the one whom people don't naturally want, the one who's been misunderstood and pushed aside, the one who's being ignored. This is Jesus. But it's not simply that it's Jesus in his natural form. It's Jesus taking the form of all people who are pushed aside, marginalized, forgotten about, and overlooked, misunderstood, any sort of outsider at all. Jesus says, hey, I don't have a demon, but if you want to call me that, you can call me that. I'll align myself with that. So when you see someone and they are the outsider, in many respects, you're seeing Jesus. That's the biggest point of the story of the Good Samaritan, is that Jesus injects, as the only good guy in the story, the last guy anybody expected. The twist, of course, is that at the end, he goes, who was neighborly? And the lawyer says, well, I suppose the man who had mercy on him. He wouldn't even say Samaritan. He couldn't even let the word Samaritan cross his lips. He who showed him mercy, that's the one who was neighborly. And Jesus then says, well, you go do likewise. So really, Jesus is saying, you go be the Samaritan. What a curveball, right? Now, there's a lot of implications. There's a lot of stuff we need to work on, and we will, because I think there's some pretty deep water in this story that we all got to wade through. And the wrong way to read it is as an indictment against someone not named me. the wrong way to read it is to go, this is an indictment against the priesthood. This is an indictment against the Levite. They thought they were going to be the hero of the story. The priest wouldn't help him. The Levite wouldn't help him. The layperson did. Okay, let's all go be neighborly. But the curveball is the priest didn't help. The Levite didn't help. I didn't even get put in the story. The Samaritan helped. Maybe I need to pay attention to the thing I've been refusing to pay attention to. At the end of the day, for me, I say at the end of the day because that doesn't mean I got nothing else to say about this parable. I'm going to say more tomorrow. But at the end of the day, for me, I got to see Jesus in things when it comes to the biblical stories. Otherwise, they are simply stories. And stories do a lot, but they don't save me. Jesus is my Savior. When I see this, it helps me to see that the Samaritan is Jesus. But I don't simply mean the guy that helps is Jesus. The guy that pays money is Jesus. The guy that puts you on his own donkey and takes you to the inn and covers your expenses for a few days is Jesus. I mean, it helps me to see that Jesus steps into the role of what we least expect. He steps into the role of that which we aren't always happy with. That the way to see Jesus is not to look for him in the halls of power, is not to try to find him with the sword in his hand, winning. The way to see Jesus is to go wherever people are bleeding and dying. And there you find Jesus. You see, to the people standing there that day, the man bleeding and dying had been the worst guy in the story. He was the stupid guy that tried to travel from Jerusalem to Jericho and got himself hurt. But then the worst guy in the world is a Samaritan. That's even worse. So the worst guy helps the other bad guy. And Jesus seems to tell it as if they're the central figures in the story. The whole thing is flipped on its head. But that's because what Jesus does at Calvary flips the whole thing on its head. More from this story tomorrow. See you then. God bless.